Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Jeremy Goldman is a recognized expert in social marketing, and he's managed e-commerce and social media for major brands, including Kiehl's, Temptu, and Jurlique, and consulted with numerous others. He's currently AVP of Interactive Communications for Illuminage Incorporated, a Unilever subsidiary he helped found. Jeremy, you've written this great book entitled Going Social. It's published by Amacom, a subsidiary of the American Management Association. Welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, let's get started. I mean, the media, business media, whatever, is thick with social media, social marketing. Tell us about your experience with social media. Now, you've managed some social media engagements, and you've also handled e-commerce, online public relations, and customer service from the brand side. How does all of that tie into a more or less comprehensive social media marketing strategy?
That's a great question. I get asked that a lot. I think, you know, for me, one of the things that's really important is looking at the whole space holistically, you know, and you wouldn't say that you're going to have a certain department that's going to have access to telephones and nobody else is going to have them, right? So it doesn't make sense to me, at least, that you would look at social media in the same way. So when I say social media marketing, I kind of think about how to best embed social media into all the different processes of one's organization, you know, from human resources, from product development, from traditional marketing and public relations, you know, and many other different departments that can leverage social media. And I think the fact that I've had so much exposure to all these different parts of an organization, that's one thing that's really benefited me.
Now, you emphasize the importance of rethinking your entire business strategy and how social media might play a part in that activity. Now, before considering different social platforms and tools, how should businesses get started? Where do you start? What is square one? I mean, what's the danger in getting started on social before a brand is clearly defined in its general marketing strategy?
Social media, when it comes to a lot of organizations, it's a great opportunity to kind of remind yourself of your existing business strategy and modify or reinforce it. Because I think after a while, some companies, you know, they had a business plan in place and they said, let's go ahead and execute this. And after a while, you get away from the core principles of it. So when you're developing a comprehensive social media plan, I think that's one of the best opportunities to really look to see what are you actually hoping to achieve as an organization. And then you build that social media plan around it, you know, as opposed to just jumping in there. And I think you mentioned something that's really important to me, which is just, you know, the strategy really comes first. The tools and the platforms that you use come second. And I've seen a lot of organizations that, you know, unfortunately, they'll get the next shiny tool or they'll jump onto Pinterest and they'll say, this is going to be a core component of our strategy. And they don't think about how to use it, and they just kind of poke around. And sometimes, you know, you will find one or two interesting uses of that platform, but other times, you know, it'll lead you down the rabbit hole, so to speak. One of the things that also I'd mentioned there is, you know, you mentioned kind of how do you get started, right? I would say that looking at who's your audience, you know, and where do they actually spend their time online is one of the key principles that I would actually look towards. Not to pick on Pinterest in any way, because it's a great platform, but there are a lot of companies that say, you know what, Pinterest is really big now. We're going to jump in.
And it's like 90% women, though, isn't it, the audience?
Well, it's not 90. It is skewed towards women. It is skewed towards certain demographics, right. Absolutely right. More importantly, it actually skews towards and benefits products that have a certain visual language to them, you know. So if you're going to talk about something such as Pinterest, you have to figure, does this actually fit into my strategy? Do I have a visual product or a visual story to tell? You have to weight things accordingly. Likewise, you might have some organizations that find that LinkedIn is one of the best ways for them to market themselves. Sure. And some might get no benefit from that. So it's really important to figure out where your audience is and what your product is and how it corresponds to these social platforms.
Okay, so let's say a business has attracted a very large following in social media. Let's say for one reason or another, overnight they've gotten several hundred thousand, whatever, Twitter followers or something like that. How do you convert these fans or followers into buying, purchasing customers?
What I would say to that is, and I mentioned this actually in Going Social, is obviously everybody thinks about conversion funnels. So I kind of think of conversion funnel cakes, not just because I, you know, love those.
State fair.
Exactly. I mean, never look at the calories on those things.
Exactly.
But I think of a funnel cake in the sense that, you know, you have all these thin strands and they go every which way, but it's a pretty great ride while you're having one, right? And it's kind of the same thing when it comes to social media, is it's not as linear as you would like when you think about conversion funnels. Given that, I think one of the most important things that any brand has to do is you have to really start at the top. And obviously, a lot of people have heard this before, but create engaging content, find interesting ways to develop an audience. You know, I talk a lot about developing a social audience, and that's really important to nail down before you start to think about converting. Then once you start to get into how do we actually convert these people, you have to think about how not to pander and how not to just jump onto the latest internet meme in an effort to get people to your site. Because you have to start thinking about what is the balance between creating engaging, interesting content and content that's actually going to resonate with the audience that you're hoping to convert. And then I would say, just in closing, there are a lot of organizations that I've noticed they jump so far into social media that I've seen some e-commerce sites that are less developed than I would have seen in, let's say, 2009, 2010. And that's because they forget about the end of that conversion funnel cake,
right.
You know?
Right.
Very important to get the fundamentals at the end when it comes to conversion down pat.
I found a very interesting chapter in your book that clearly differentiated it from so many of those other how-to books and social media that are out there right now. And it, specifically, it's chapter 7. It's entitled, How to Staff Your Social Team and Organize for More Effective Engagement. And it strikes me that one of the key challenges for any company that wants to meaningfully participate in that space is, how do I know I'm hiring the right people, and who are the right people, and where do they fit?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's one of the things that a lot of organizations now, you know, you see a concerted effort towards getting that right, towards making sure that you staff accordingly. And there are some traits that wind up becoming a lot more important than they would have necessarily been even a few years ago. One of the key things is to actually have employees who are more comfortable in the customer service and public relations realms, even if that's not necessarily their role. Some of the organizations that I've worked with and spoken to, they even find ways to work social media into their accounting department, mm-hmm. You know, by engaging and responding to queries that way. Now, in a lot of organizations, you would traditionally have customer service that would be your front line, so to speak, before that would ever go to accounting, right? But now you have to be thinking about, well, how do I ensure that every employee that I'm hiring can be an external facing face of the organization? You never know when that crisis is going to come up and somebody becomes a lot more important to your overall strategy.
But you have to admit that, and I can speak from experience, that probably scares a lot of old school executives. The idea that, you know, everyone is a customer service agent, everyone is a duly deputized social media agent of the company.
And I think there's a good reason that it should scare, because it does create work on some level, right? Because you have to make sure that you're giving the right type of training to make sure that your employees are always in the know when it comes to anything that's going on with respect to your organization. One of the companies that I worked at, actually, just to take a specific example, Temp2, was actually coming out with a specific product within a few months. And was everybody in the organization was actually trained with a specific answer in terms of letting people know, well, yes, this is on its way. And then when there was a slight change in the product release date, it was very important to communicate out to the organization, because you never know who's going to accidentally leak out information. It's very clear to organizations now that you have to make sure that all of your employees are trained cross-functionally, because they might have to step up. And it's a new and exciting for some people like me, but less exciting when you're used to the old ways, absolutely.
What's new that companies right now that might even be doing a pretty decent job in the social space, what new tools, technologies, practices, best practices do these social media savvy companies need to be aware of as we head into 2013, 2014? What's the new stuff they need to really pay attention to?
I think the new stuff is really making sure that you implement a strong analytics layer on top of everything that you're doing. Whether or not it's the same person that's doing the day-to-day community management within your organization, or if it's a new hire, it's very important to make sure that you have an analytics team that's looking to see and quantifying whenever possible the return on investment. You know, one of the things that I think is very hot right now, and I talk about it a little bit in the book, is social media ROI. It's really important to try to hone down whenever you can. There are a lot of things that are very hard to quantify when it comes to social media metrics and determining return on investment. One thing I like to say is just because it's hard doesn't mean you don't do it. Mm-hmm. For years with traditional advertising, we've had companies that have made a tidy sum, you know, focused on how do you actually analyze whether or not something's working. Mm-hmm. In a short answer to that question, developing an analytics layer and investing in the right analytic tools behind your Pinterest and Facebook and Twitter marketing efforts to ensure that they're paying off in the way that you want to, and then reinforming your strategy, because a lot of organizations are doing social media quote unquote well, in the sense that they have, you know, 2 million likes on Facebook. Sure. But then when they look to see the ratio of comments and, you know, true engagement in relation to that like, then they see that they're actually not as strong as they thought.
And just to wrap up, final question here, can you give me, I don't want to say a case study, but just almost a mini business story about a big brand name company that's doing this right?
Yeah, so I would say actually one example that I used in the book, which I actually found really interesting to me, was DKNY. So they actually have a very strong senior PR executive, Aliza Licht, and she actually has helmed for a number of years at DKNY on Twitter. So with DKNY, not only has that been a very engaging character, you know, for fans to relate to, it's actually broadened the appeal of the DKNY brand, which is really in a lot of ways the goal of social media. It's a very cost-effective acquisition vehicle. They've had very strong campaigns that have been innovative and have been the campaign that you would have run through traditional media, but they found a perfect way to take a number of different campaigns into the new media world. So one quick example that they've done is they actually had a hashtag UK2012 campaign. And what they did is Aliza actually got a number of very influential friends across the Twitter sphere, such as the head of Tumblr, Carmelo Anthony from the New York Knicks, and, you know, hundreds more probably. And what they actually did is they taped a bit of a play so that everybody was engaging around this hashtag UK2012. And nobody actually said what it was. They just made a really big deal out of it. And it turned out what it was is it was a renovation of their flagship store in London. And flagship stores never actually get any buzz anymore if you're going to have something renovated. You don't get a story around that. But he found a compelling way to create a conversation around something that wouldn't have had a conversation otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason why I really like that example in particular is because a lot of execs are afraid, well, you can't really lead the conversation anymore. Now, once I go onto social media and create a social brand, then my brand is, I'm going to lose control of it. And it's going to be led by the fans. And the truth of the matter is, there is an element of truth to that. But that being said, you know, you can actually direct the conversation in a way that you want it to go. And you can create an exciting brand that can be a great customer acquisition vehicle.
Cool. We've been speaking to Jeremy Goldman. He's the author of the book Going Social, published by Amacom. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.